찾네. Long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things. This Jesus, this all God, all man, who came in the flesh, who was born of a virgin woman, who had a stepfather called Joseph, who had other brothers and sisters later on, but He Himself was born from a virgin womb. All of a sudden, comes on the scene because it was His appointed moment. He becomes a young man who knew the Word of God because he was the Word of God. Was trained as a carpenter, did an apprenticeship, learned to be obedient, learned to be under instruction because that's what apprentices do. They learn to be obedient. They learn to become under instruction. They learn to do what they're told. I was an apprentice once. I was a rebellious apprentice. I was a shocking apprentice. The only reason they didn't kick me out was because I had good marks. But otherwise, they would have shafted me a long time ago. But anyway, I got through it. Praise the Lord. With Mum's prayers, I got through it. But he learned things. Then all of a sudden, he was commissioned. And he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. And he was tempted and he was tested. But this God, this man, this Jesus, who was God, has been commissioned by the Father to see a captivity, those in captive and captivity set free. He came to His creation because His creation couldn't come to Him. He came down because he couldn't get up. Just like in the book of Exodus, He said to Moses, "I have come down that I might deliver them." Jesus came down to deliver us. Hear me, that's His whole emphasis. To come down to deliver us and set me free from the bondage of sin. Set me free from the captivity of sin. Set me free from the power of sin. Because everything from sin grows. It touches every other facet of my life. My mind, my will, my emotions, my heart, my tongue. Jesus, Jesus came to set the captive free. Amen. So He says this, He appointed him the heir of all things, through whom He all created the world. In verse 3 it says this, He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds all things, upholds the universe by the word of His power. Say it with me, the word of His power. The word of His power upholds all things. If the word of His power wasn't here this morning, things wouldn't consist. In fact, things would fall apart. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty at hand. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty at hand. His work is finished. Amen? He's alive. His work is finished. It is complete. No other sacrifice has to be made for your sin. He's done it all. Another sacrifice. It's there. My past is forgiven. My present will can be forgiven. My future will be forgiven if I utilize the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The penalty has been paid. This Jesus who came delivered me from sin, delivered me from the penalty of sin, opened heaven to me, rent the veil, allowed my heart to receive joy, allowed me to receive His peace, allowed me to experience the goodness of God. Allowed me to understand that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Allowed me to know that the presence of the Holy Spirit dwells within me. And if you're born again with this morning, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells where? In you. There is resurrection life living inside of you. I want to say that again. There is resurrection life living inside of you. Nothing has to hold you back. Nothing has to hold you down. No sin is too great for the power of God and the Spirit of God to overcome it. All I have to do is be obedient to the Spirit and yield to the Spirit and say, Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. And guess what? If you surrender and you become weak, He becomes strong. When you are weak, He is strong. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews 10, verse 12 to 14. It says, but when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice of sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made his footstool for his feet. For this word, the word for means this. He sits in a place of honor, authority, power, because his offering has accomplished. His offering, his body, his life has accomplished exactly what God the Father wanted it to do. It paid, it appeased sin. It paid the penalty and it allowed justice to be paid for. He set me free from his death, and now he's given me the power to live a righteous, godly life full of the authority, power, anointing of God to be exactly what he's created me to be, a witness for Jesus. Amen. By a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. I want you to look at that word, being sanctified. Your walk is a process. You are being sanctified. You are called sanctified, but we will have a walk of sanctification to come out. That warfare that is within me, that fight between the flesh and the spirit. For the flesh lusts against the spirit lusts against the flesh. These are contrary one to another. There's a fight in our hearts and there's a fight in my soul to control how you think. How you think. For as a man thinks, there goes he. Amen? How you think. His spirit who starts a lifelong work of sanctifying you, that is bringing our mind, our hearts, our life more and more into the conformity of Jesus Christ. He wants to bear an image. As he bore the image, you will bear an image. Image of Christ, a one that delivers, a one that sets free, a one that has a word in due season, a one that can anoint, a one that can lay hands on the sick, a one that could go forth in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son, the whole Godhead bodily dwelling within you, allowing yourself to be moved by the Holy Spirit, to be able to touch those who need a touch in the name of Jesus. Hear me. Everything's done in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We serve a risen Christ. We don't serve a dead one. We serve a risen one. Next one, please. This Jesus, who is all God, all man, came born of a woman to taste and experience and feel his beloved creation were under the bondage and influence of power of a thing called sin. This same Jesus who declared he was God. He declared he was God. People say, where does it say Jesus was God? He declared he was God. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham said, Moses said, who sent you? Tell them I am sent you. It's his name. For Abraham was, I am. He also declared that he would be killed. He prophesied he'd be killed. He knew he was going to be killed. When he laid hands on the sick, he says, go and sin no more. Those who heard that knew only God could forgive sin. He was declaring himself God all the time. He declared who he was, that he would rise again. After the third day, I will rise again. He declared that. Before he was even dead, he declared that. And when he did rise again, hallelujah, he wasn't just talked about as a God. He is God. He proved himself God. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. And he came forth. And all who needed to see him saw him. Can you imagine 500 people at one time seeing this living, risen Christ walking the streets, walking through walls, walking through doors, eating fish, then all of a sudden risen to heaven, ruling and reigning, seated in his position of authority with the Father himself as God Almighty. Hallelujah. That's the God I serve. That's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus that when he rose again, conquered sin for my life, set me free from the power of sin, opened heaven, hallelujah, that I can then, the veil was rent from top to bottom, the hands of God rent the veil, enter in because of the blood of the Lamb and the sacrifice of what he's made for me. Paid the price for my sickness, for by his stripes I am healed. Gave me the joy of the Lord, which causes me to have what? Strength. Hallelujah. Renews my mind by the washing of the water of the word of God. Sanctification and process all the time has allowed the Holy Ghost to minister through me and to me. reading His Word, becoming strong in His Word, and the power of His might. Hallelujah. He has risen, and today, Easter Sunday, 2.5 to 3 billion people around the world are celebrating the same person. 2.5 to 3 billion people will be calling Jesus Lord and God, celebrating Him, worshiping Him, honoring Him, thank Him. The church is so big, so broad, so wide. Hallelujah. For a man, 3.5 years in ministry, 3.5 years that has affected the world, even today, that even time's named after Him. B.C., before Christ. A.D., Anno Domini, after death. Even your calendars are after Him. Glory to God. The Westminster governmental system is after Him. Everything's after Him. He is God. 3.5 billion people will celebrate Him for who He is and what He has done. And it's not so much His presence. I've said this before. It's not so much His presence that bore witness, but His absence. The stone's been rolled away. The tomb is empty. He was seen by Peter, seen by the apostles, seen by the 500. And lastly, He was seen by Paul himself. A man, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, who was born out of due time. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 8. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, which is Peter, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. I want you to listen to that word. Some have fallen asleep. A believer falls asleep. They don't die. They close their eyes on earth and they open their eyes in heaven. It's that quick. Amen. One of the last things Jesus said on the cross was this: to a thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Not next week, not when He comes back. Today. Amen. Today is a truth. You've got to remember and hold on to the truth that your God and my God has given me a promise. No matter what happens to me on earth, the day I close my eyes, the day I'm finished what He wants me to do, when I close my eyes today on earth, I'll open them in heaven immediately. Glory to God. That is good news. Amen. Don't wonder about your future. He's got it all in hand. That He was seen by Cephas, by the 12, He's seen by the 500, some have fallen asleep. After He was seen by James and then by all the apostles. Last of all, He was seen by me also, one born out of due time. He was seen. Hallelujah. And guess what? The world still needs to see Him. He still needs a witness. He's looking to His bride. He's looking to His woman, saying, hey, reflect me. Shine for me. Be the light. Be that salt to the earth. Shine and reflect my glory. Amen. For He's given you and me the same glory that He had with the Father. This glory I will give them, Father, that You have given me. Oh, come on. I am just like a cat in a hot tin roof. I am so excited what God has done for my life. And you can celebrate that for your life every day. So when the enemy tries to come and put weight upon you, the weights that come upon us, remind yourself whose you are. Remind yourself what He has done for you. Remind yourself where you are seated. Amen. To understand the fullness of who He is, I must accept the fullness of who I am. I've talked about Him. Let's talk about us. Huh. To understand truly the fullness of who He is, I really must know the fullness of who I am. When sin entered the world through a man called Adam, every person after that was born with a sinful nature. A sinful nature. You do not have to teach a child to be naughty. It is inherent. Can I have an amen? It is inherent. We're forever teaching them to be good. It is inherent within them. There is a sinful nature. And also, it's by choice. Sin operates through choice. Amen. My mouth sins. My thoughts sin. My eyes sin. My heart sins. And a lot of it's by choice. Amen. So I stand here as a sinner, saved by grace. Can I have an amen? That's quite loud. You didn't have to say it that loud. And you're a sinner, saved by grace. Now it's my turn. Amen. It's your turn, my turn. Amen. We're all sinners saved by grace because we have this sinful nature within us and we have choices to make. But thank God that Jesus dwells within me. And greater is he that is in me than he that's in that world, that sinful nature. He empowers me to overcome this nature by being obedient to the word of God. Yes, there will be wrestles in my life. Yes, there will be choices that sometimes I'll have to do by obedience and I might want to do it. But if I'm being obedient to him, my obedience is greater than any sacrifice I can make before him. And he sits, and once I experience that love because of that obedience, I want to overcome. I want to change. I want to walk in that newness of life. Not just talk about it, but walk it and allow that love to wash over me and allow that love to capture my heart and allow that love and forgiveness and that grace and that mercy extends towards each one of us because he's overcome sin. He then embraces me so then I would want to walk it out. Amen? I need the grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who first loves me, the one who has the capacity and the ability and power to change the sinful nature within me, the one who through the work of his indwelling Holy Spirit transforms me. Amen. And that's the work of sanctification. Amen. So often you see good people trying to change the outward. And they're good people. Don't get me wrong. There's some good people that are not saved. Really good people. And they want to change themselves. They want to try and do the best and not sin and not fall into temptation and do all that stuff. But the reality is, unless he changes the inside nature, he can never change the outside works. It's through changing your nature, changing the inner man in you. The inside's got to be changed before the outside can catch up. Amen? Otherwise, all I'm doing is dead works. And you will fail. I will fail. Just like Israel failed, we will fail. It has to be a work of the Holy Ghost in my life. It has to be a grace thing. It has to be a love action. That my God, my God, my God, change me from the inside out. So when someone comes against me, I don't curse, but I bless. When someone says something against me, I don't get provoked, but I pray. When someone's unforgiving, or when I feel unforgiveness, I walk in the opposite spirit. I forgive them. That's the power of the Spirit of God within you. Amen. And then my choices become affected by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Why? By his love. My actions are challenged. When the Holy Ghost puts his finger on a thing that he doesn't want you to do anymore. Anyone ever had the Holy Ghost do that? Anyone ever had the Holy Ghost say, don't touch that. Why are you looking at that? Turn away from that. Don't talk like that. That's the Holy Ghost. Your carnal mind would say this. Nothing wrong with that. You can have that. No one will know. The Spirit of God wants you to walk in righteousness. I'm empowered to live a sanctified lifestyle. So now the tree that bears fruit no longer bears fruit of sinful nature, but that of a new creation. Transformed by the indwelling of my Savior and my God. If there was no sin, you and I would be walking in paradise right now. There'd be no age, there'd be no sickness, there'd be no disease, there'd be everything I need from God. I would never die. I'd be walking in the cool of the day with God the Father. But it's not like that. sin abounds. But where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Next one, son. Romans 3:23 says this. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is exempt. No one is exempt. We've all sinned. Therefore, if we've all sinned, we all need a Savior. Who agrees? Even when you're saved, you still need the Savior. Amen. Is there any saints here that don't sin? We all sin. We still need a Savior. We are all sinners by both nature and choice. We all have a sinful nature, born in sin, born with sin. So sin is the root cause of all our problems. Sin is the root cause of all our problems. Pride, anger, jealousy, envy, lust, all sin, all a product of sin. And so until the root cause is dealt with, that sin dealt with inside of me, we can try and fix our behavior, but we'll fail. And Jesus, who is perfect and is the only Savior, the only Savior, hear me, he's the only, there's no other way to God but through Jesus Christ. I want to make that emphatically clear. There is no other way, there's no other door, there's no other access to the Father, but by one person alone, his name is Jesus Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. And hear me, and if you want life, he's the only way of life. If you want peace, he's the only way to peace. If you want joy, he's the only way to joy. He's your everything. Jesus Christ, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Hare Krishna. They're all dead. Hear me, they're dead. But my God, he's alive. Forever interceding on my behalf. He's alive. Hallelujah. Jesus, who is perfect, the only Savior, came to deliver all who accept him from the influence of the power, both on the inside and on the outside. He wants you whole. His price made you whole. He wants you to walk in the fullness of what he got for you on the cross. He wants me complete. Hallelujah. Sometimes in Christendom, the devil gets blamed for everything. That might shock you. But half your battle is not the devil. Half your battle is you. How you think, how you act, how you talk. Can I hear a little amen? Sometimes it's your flesh. That's why Jesus then offers to us, when he picks up going to his cross, he said something like this: pick up your cross. Now follow me. Now the cross ends in a death. But the tomb ends in a what? A resurrection. He doesn't want to leave you dead. He wants to bring resurrection. You cannot have resurrection life flowing in you unless you go to a cross. You can't have a crown before you have the crown of thorns. Amen? So every time I crucify this flesh, I'm living in resurrection life. Hallelujah. Here's the battle. Just like Jesus had someone carry his cross, we want someone to carry our cross. Can you hold this for a week, love? I'm tired. Oh, here's a good one for families. This is a real good one, right? That's it. She's embarrassed now because I got her up. Here's a good one for married couples. It's your fault, not mine.
No, it isn't. It's your fault.
It's my fault. Straight away, I'm telling her, you should carry my cross because I'm not going to change. It's your fault. I'm not changing. It's your fault. As soon as you say, it's your fault, what you've just said is, I've got no consequence. It's all you. So therefore, now she's carrying her cross. I've loaded my cross, and I think I'm walking free. till nighttime. We won't go there, David, but the minute you start blaming, shifting, placing responsibility for your actions or your voice or whatever upon another person without taking responsibility for your own actions. Amen. She is not designed to carry my cross. I am not designed to carry her cross. I am not designed to carry Jesus' cross. I'm designed to carry the cross he's given me. So whatever needs to die in me is unique to me. Whatever needs to die in her is unique to her. Therefore, when he says, pick up your cross and follow me, it's that cross that only has your name. Not our name, my name. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Thank you. Romans 5, 6, and 11 says this, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now we shall be reconciled. Shall we be reconciled? We'll be saved by his what? Life. By his life. Listen, if Jesus is not alive, go home. If Jesus is not alive, go home. Do what you want, because we're still in sin. But I'm telling you, 2.5 to 3 billion people can't be wrong. And the greatest witness is not the 2.5 to 3 billion. It's me. I know he's alive because he lives in me. He's changed me. He's blessed my marriage. He's ministered to my kids. He's ministering to my grandkids. He's leaving an inheritance to my children and my children's children. And I know that because he's already done it in my own personal life. Your God is alive. Hallelujah. We shall be reconciled. We shall be saved by his life. That more than that, we shall rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we've received reconciliation. So God works for you. God works in you, and God works through you. I'm going to say that again. God works for you. He's done it all. He's done it all. He's done everything. Amen. God works in you to bring transformation. God wants to now work through you to get the message of the good news out for the world to see. He doesn't save me to put on a mantelpiece. I'm not a trophy. Another one say, I'll just put him up there. No, he doesn't do that. He saved me to bear witness of his goodness, to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. And your Easter Sunday is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? We'll finish on this. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God. What is a gift from God? Your grace. Your salvation. It's free. It's a gift. Amen? Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That's God working for you. For you are his workmanship. That is God working in you. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's God's works through you. His good works, his workmanship, working through you for a transformed life. And no matter how good I am, no matter how good I do things and live well and do everything externally the best I possibly can, I will fail unless I have this and declare this need of a Savior, because I've recognized who I am. I'm a sinner. And I have a sinful nature. And I'm saved by a gift called grace. Amen. That gift is available to anyone. Anyone. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you've failed, no matter what your past is, His hand is extended out to you right now. His life-giving Spirit is saying to everyone, come. Step out of your boat. Take a risk. Come. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I want to echo it in the house this morning. Your God is alive. He's not a figment of imagination. He's not an old bedtime story. He's not something that's hanging around someone's neck on a cross. He's not on the cross. He's alive. He's alive. And He died that He can reconcile man back to His Father. Reconcile man back to God. Made covenant with His Father. A new testament. That anyone that is found in Him, has the forgiveness of sins. Has entrance to heaven. Has joy spread in their heart. Can operate in the peace and the love of the Father. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. You might know Jesus. You might know Him. You might know of Him. You might have heard about Him. But you don't know Him. He's here this morning that you can know Him for yourself. Just for you. In fact, I never believe there's any coincidences in God at all. I don't think God's random. I don't think God takes chances. I think everything's orchestrated by Him and for Him. Nothing gets past Him. Whether it's a thought, whether it's a deed. And you're not here by coincidence. You're not here because you thought it was a good thing to do. You are led by the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to say a sinner's prayer this morning. And I want us all to repeat it. And if you've never said it before and you mean it, say it with all your heart to Him. Amen. Say it with all your heart to Him. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I ask You this morning to come into my heart. I acknowledge that You are the Son of God, that You died and You rose again, and that Your love is set before me. I receive that love this morning. And I declare that You are my Savior and my Lord. Therefore, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Sit upon the throne of my heart. And allow me to be led by Your Spirit, that I might become a son of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that for the first time today, you come and see me after. I'd love to talk to you. But I think it's a good thing to do nearly every day. Acknowledge your God and your Savior, that you have need of Him. Amen. Don't get lax and think, well, everything is all going well, everything's fine, everything by and by. Remember our need for your Savior. Amen. There's seven things that Jesus said on a cross. I won't go through them, but I'll mention two of them. The first thing he said was this in Luke, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The first act of any cross in anyone's life is to walk in forgiveness. If I don't walk in forgiveness, you're not carrying your cross. That's the first thing he said to him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The third thing was this. "Woman, behold your son." "Son, behold the woman." He said the mother, actually. In other words, that's care for one another. Loving one. And it says in that apostle was John. Immediately John took his mother in, and she abode with him till the day of his death. Even though he had brothers, but they weren't saved yet. John, the apostle, took Mary in. Therefore, it's imperative not just to be a place of forgiveness, but if there's anything estranging you from fellowship, fix it. I'm going to say it again. Fix it. And a lot of Christians are doing what they're expecting them to pick up the cross and say, well, they should fix it. But the Bible actually says this. If you know that your brother has ought against you, first go to your brother and be reconciled. In other words, fellowship. For how can we say we love the one we cannot see if we can't love the one we can see? 1 John. Amen. So here's an invitation. Who wants to carry their cross? Ouch. Who wants to carry their cross? Because without carrying the cross, I can never truly walk in resurrection life. Amen? I want you to think about that this week. And I'm a walking in. The word forgiveness there when he said that is this. Freedom from guilt. Not the feeling of guilt, the penalty of the guilt. You've been sentenced. You're found guilty. He's expunged that guilt. And it's not. Then he expects the feelings to follow. But you, forgiveness is saying to someone, when you say, "I forgive you," I expunged the guilt between us. Therefore, what was between us is no longer there. We are free. Not a feeling of guilt. The penalty of guilt. And everyone says, amen. Amen. You're saying, Pastor Dave, that was a hard one to finish on. But the reality is this. The truth will make you free. And the first one that God will ever want to change, God ever wants you to change, is you. Amen. Have a blessed week. Have a wonderful Easter Sunday. Have a great day off tomorrow. Remember God. Remember the goodness of your God. Amen. Remember the blessedness upon your marriage, the blessedness upon your children, the blessedness upon your children's children, that your God has things worked out for them. You know why? Because he calls you blessed. Amen. Have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace. We're saying grace before you eat.